Turn in your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 1, the first chapter of the very last book of the Bible. If you turn to the last pages, you'll be in Revelation and in the first chapter. Speaking of singing the Psalms, a lot of those tunes are a bit unfamiliar. But what a joy it would be if we could start with number 1 and sing all the way through the book someday. My father, in the church that he pastored for 38 years, for the responsive reading, started with Psalm 1 and just worked all the way through the book of Psalms. It took about 3 years to get all the way through because, as Brother Vince mentioned, Psalm 119 is long. Some of the short psalms were combined. But that's a good exercise for a congregation to read all the way through the Psalms together. If you have your place in the first chapter of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 of Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, now bless the reading and the hearing of thy word to our hearts. Father, bless as we endeavor to expound upon thy word and to compare scripture with scripture. Show us these things which are true, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We read there in that 8th verse, which is our text for this morning, I am Alpha and Omega. And of course we know from Scripture and from the study of God's Word that Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And we find the same comparison in the Old Testament with the Hebrew alphabet. What does it mean when we say he is the Alpha and the Omega? Well, the scripture tells us in the very passage that he is the beginning and the end. But the Alpha and the Omega also includes everything in between. We say something is from A to Z. It is complete. There is nothing left out. And yet there is a long distance between A and Z and Alpha and Omega. And so there is an all-compassing nature to what is expressed here and to the God of whom it speaks. And so this morning I would like us, in the brief time that we have, I've been accused of preaching long before, and I'll take the accusation. But this is the only time we gather for the exposition of Scripture in the whole week.
Right.
Sunday school and the morning worship hour. And so I don't think we are abusing the time of God's people if sometimes we extend it a little bit. And I don't want to get too far off the subject, but it's such a joy to preach to a group of people who don't care if you go over time. Our watches and our clocks are not part of our worship. I'd like us to see, first of all, that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega of time. He's the beginning and the ending of time. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I've made reference to our watches and our clocks already. That is because we are not divine. We are human beings. And we live by the clock. Or better stated, we live by the sun and moon. I mentioned to my wife this week that when it starts getting a little bit dark outside because there's rain coming and it's a bit storming, the cat thinks she has not been fed. Because her only frame of reference is, it's getting dark and you always feed me before it gets dark. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that the case? Because that animal created by God is subject to time, and so are you. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I mentioned to some folks on the way in this morning that I use my cell phone as my alarm clock, and last night I left it on the coffee table. I'm prepared this morning in part because I could hear it all the way out in the living room on the coffee table because I get up early Sunday morning and spend some time in prayer and review the messages. Why am I talking about this? Because we are subject to time. We cannot truly understand an eternal being. Because all we know is what we've learned by experience. We see the sun rise. We know the alarm clock goes off. We go to work and we watch the clock because we know at a certain time work will be done unless we're an accountant on a salary. And we can go home. We can finish when the work is done. We are creatures of time. But God is eternal. He is not subject to time. He's the Alpha and the Omega of time. And so we are creatures of time, and our reference of time begins with God. We did not evolve from a blob of goo. Rather, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we come to the Gospel of John. And we find in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then we come down to verse 14 of John 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word spoken of there is Jesus Christ, who is the Word of the Father. He is the message from the Father. And so, life must come from life. Life does not come from a rock. Life does not come from a blob of jelly. Life does not come from a swamp mud, as the evolutionists would try to tell you. Life comes from life. And there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. For in him we live and move and have our being. And so when we say that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, is the Alpha and the Omega of time, we're declaring that he created all things. Show me something that God did not create. Oh, Pastor, he didn't create this chair. Well, this chair came from wood, and he made the tree. But what about the cushion? Well, he made the cotton. He made the sheep. He made all things. And so, we find in Isaiah 44 and verse 24, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Ah, folks, it takes a lot of faith to believe in evolution. Mm-hmm. Doesn't take a lot of faith at all to believe that God made it all. Because the scientific evidence is all around us. "For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Scientists can't do that when they try to push evolution. But you see, that is truth, because he is the Alpha and the Omega of time. He created all things. But not only did God create all things, God sustains all things. Our universe is very slowly expanding. But from a scientific standpoint, it should just fly apart. Mm-hmm. Explain to me where gravity comes from. Explain to me where magnetism comes from. Explain to me where electricity comes from. The scientists can give you some explanation about minerals in a rock that cause magnetism. But where did the rock come from? And why does the rock have those properties? You see, the rock has those properties because the rock had a wise creator. And so why does this universe not fly to bits? Because God, as the Alpha, the beginning and the end, controls everything in the middle. He sustains all things. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, we read this: "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." He holds them together.
That's right.
And then again, we find in Acts 17, verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also your poets have said, for we are also his offspring." In God we live and move and have our being. Why is there breath in my lungs? Well, because we read in Scripture that God holdeth our soul in life. I am alive today because God holds my soul in life. Mm-hmm. And then again, what about global warming? What about climate change? Well, we don't deny that it's warmer now in parts of the world than it was a few years ago. But if you look historically, it's far cooler than it was at certain times ago. But do we need to worry about global warming? Or now they say climate change because it didn't happen as fast as they said it was. Well, Scripture speaks to this as well in Genesis 8 and verse 22. "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." We do not throw trash on the side of the road. If you've ever thrown trash on the side of the road, shame on you. Because God gave man stewardship over the earth. God told Adam to tend the garden. And it is the responsibility of us as Christians to be concerned about the environment. We do not wantonly pollute. We do not unnecessarily take the lives of animals. But we don't worship the earth. Mm-hmm. We worship the God who is the Alpha and the Omega, who created it all, and He will sustain it all. Because He's the sustainer of all things. But not only is God as the Alpha and Omega of time, the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things, He's also the end of all things. For He is the Alpha, the beginning of creation, but He's also the Omega. People, jokingly I hope, have said to their son, I brought you into the world, I can take you out of it. But you understand what that silly comment made. I am your father, you're going to obey me. God's going to destroy this world someday too. He's the Alpha and the Omega of all time. God will bring it all to a conclusion. If you look there at our text in Revelation 1 and verse 8, He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Mm-hmm. Consider the prophecy of the Old Testament in Isaiah 65, verses 17 and 18. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And that Jerusalem and her people a joy is not talking about a city in Palestine. It's talking about a new Jerusalem that, as the expression is out of this world. For the elements of this world, we read in Scripture, will melt with fervent heat. In Matthew 24:35, and in Mark 13:31, and in Luke 21:33, we find the same verse repeated two times word for word, one time with slightly different wording. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I've mentioned to you many times Psalm 18:30, which is one of my favorite verses. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in Him. And I've commented that that verse is in Scripture twice. It's also in 2 Samuel 22. And God must have loved that verse because He put it in Scripture twice. He put this one here three times, folks. Heaven and earth shall pass away. This world in which we live is decaying. It is under the curse, and someday the elements will melt with fervent heat. And that is why I believe in Jesus Christ. Because He makes all things new. He's the beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And He's the end of time. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 13. Chapter 3, excuse me, verses 11 through 13. 2 Peter 3, if you don't turn, just listen closely, and I will read the verses for you. But there in 2 Peter 3, verse 11, we find, seeing that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing that this world's dying, folks. Seeing that this world's going to dissolve, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Seeing that life is not about this world, I was sharing with the men during the prayer time this morning a picture I saw of this guy with a boat and a truck and a trailer and RVs and all this nonsense. The poor individual. The sad man that has to have all these toys to try to be happy. And they don't bring fulfillment and happiness. Seeing that these things shall be dissolved, seeing that I someday shall surely die in this body, I must be prepared for the life to come. Seeing that this body shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought I to be? In all holiness and godliness. And so, reading the passage again there in 2 Peter 3, I'll read verse 11 and then into 12 and 13. Seeing that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah, we're living in Sodom, but there's a Jerusalem to come. And so, folks, first of all, we see that there in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, when Christ declares he is the Alpha and the Omega, he's the beginning of the time, he's the current of the time, and he's the end of time. He is the Alpha and the Omega of time. But not only do we find that Christ is the Alpha and the Omega of time, he is the Alpha and the Omega of power. He's the beginning and end of all power. There is no power outside of our God. I referenced earlier magnetism and electricity and the polar nature of our world, and these things can't happen by an accident. You don't throw a bunch of rocks out in the field and have magnets. It doesn't happen. Right. You've got to have the right joining of chemicals. You have to have the right conditions that do not happen on their own. He says there in our text in Revelation 1 and verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. What's Almighty mean? You'll be amazed to learn, folks, that Almighty means Almighty. He is all mighty. There's no power outside of God. He is the Almighty. I am a student of history. I love history. And history is replete with men who rose to great power and great might. Where are they today? Mm-hmm. Where are all the Caesars? There were 30-some Caesars. Where are they? Where are kings and princes now? Where is Alexander the Great? Where's Ronald Reagan? He very ably ruled, was the leader of the free world. Where is he today? What real influence has he left behind? Folks, I've been to Mount Rushmore. Those guys can't do a thing. Their images are carved in stone, but they're gone. They, for a time, had a little degree of power. But Jesus Christ is the Alpha. He's the beginning of power. He's the Omega. He is the end of power. And he is everything in between. And so, if you look at the sixth verse there in Revelation 1, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion. And dominion forever. And then it's going to be stop? No, forever and ever, folks. You see, these mighty men of this world are temporary. And even Satan, with all his might and power, well, he'll be cast into the lake of fire as well. But there is one who rules forever and ever. His name is the great I Am, the Jehovah God. And he has revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so he's the Alpha and the Omega. The first time we find this word Almighty in Scripture is in Genesis 17 and verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You see, Jehovah is the Alpha and the Omega of power. And he says to every man, woman, and child, walk before me and be perfect, for I am the Almighty. But because of our fall in Adam, because of our sin, we are born in trespasses and sins. And the only way that I can walk before Jehovah and be perfect is through his Son. And so I place my soul in the hands of Jesus Christ. And in him I walk. And in him I am perfect. Mm-hmm. Before Jehovah. Because he has the power of life and breath. Job said in Job 33 verse 4, the Spirit of God hath made me. The breath of the Almighty hath given me life. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 16, by me princes rule and nobles even all the judges of the earth. In our prayer this morning, I prayed for our president. I don't like the man. I don't like his policies. But Scripture says to pray for all in authority, and so I pray for him. And I believe that he could not be president without God ordaining him to be president. And so, folks, I don't have to worry about politics. Because my God is the Alpha and the Omega power. Mm-hmm. He controls it all. Number three, our God is the Alpha and the Omega of wisdom. Of wisdom. This world is full of people that think they're pretty smart. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. God hath made foolishness the wisdom of the world. We read in the second chapter of Proverbs, starting in verse 3, these words. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver, and search for her as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Folks, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When I was in college, we used to sing the university hymn, Wisdom of God, we would be by thee be taught. Wisdom of God, teach us. Control our minds, direct our every thought. Thee would we meet within the classroom walls, go forth to serve thee from these hallowed halls. So it's part of the university's hymn. Folks, there is no wisdom apart from God. The scientists of this world have all kinds of crazy theories. And the Word of God disproves them all. And folks, the current theories of today are not new. They've come up at various times in history. How many missing links could there possibly be? There's a new one about every decade. And the ones from 40 and 50 years ago now, well, that was wrong. But we got a new one here, folks. Jehovah is the beginning and the ending of all wisdom. I need to move on quickly. But we read in Matthew 10 verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. How many here today know how many hairs are on your head? Well, not a one of us. We were talking before Sunday school about how our hair falls out. You know, we clean it out of the shower drain a couple times a week. But God knows the number. Such knowledge is high. I cannot attain unto it. We read in Ephesians 1 verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Because our God is the Alpha and the Omega of wisdom, we too have wisdom. we understand. Moving on. He's the Alpha and the Omega of love. We read for our call to, for our responsive reading this morning from 1 John chapter 4. Love begins with him. Look at verse 5 of our text there in Revelation chapter 1. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Folks, you look at all the gods of the heathen. The gods of the heathen are angry gods. The gods of Greek mythology are throwing lightning bolts and walking around with hammers to smash and fighting with each other constantly. You will not find another god, small g, false god, who's a god of love. The gods that men create are gods of vengeance and gods of hate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's only one God who is the God of love. He's the beginning of love, and he's the end of love. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared to me of old, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Before I formed thee in the belly, before thou camest forth, I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. The elect child of God was chosen in him when? Before the foundation of the world. He's the beginning and the end of love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his friends. For the sheep, excuse me. Whatever other God sent his son to die for us. You look at the Incas of Central America, and they would sacrifice their own children to appease their gods. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have, but have everlasting life. We read there in our responsive reading this morning, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Why is it we love each other so much here? Because we're nice people? No, I don't think all of us are nice people. We love each other because of the love of Christ. We love each other because he first loved us. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If we say that we love God and hate our brother, the love of God does not dwell in us. But we love one another because we serve the God who is the Alpha and the Omega of time and the Alpha and the Omega of power. And the Alpha and Omega of love. We find also that he is indeed the Alpha and the Omega of sovereignty. Jehovah alone is the sovereign God. The world has many gods that it has created, but there is one God who is sovereign. And it is indeed Jehovah God. In Isaiah 44, starting in verse 6, we find these words, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. And it's interesting to notice there that the King of Israel, the Lord, is Jehovah, and the Redeemer is also Jehovah. And the second, the Redeemer is talking about Christ. It's calling Christ directly Jehovah. In that passage. But thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts, I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no God. I am the first, I'm the Alpha, and I'm the last, I'm the Omega, and beside me there is no God. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that before me doesn't mean before me in time, it means before in my presence. I shall have no other gods before me. There is one God and one creator. And who shall I... there is no other God beside me. Isaiah 46 verse 7. And who as I shall call and shall declare it? and set an order for me, since I have appointed the ancient people and the things that are to come and shall come. Let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. I have told ye from that time, and have declared it. Ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. There's one God and one Creator. And so, because He is the sovereign, He is indeed the Holy God, and because He is the Alpha and Omega sovereign, He is the only Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. And continuing there in the passage we were reading in Isaiah 45 and verse 21 and following, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Or who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God beside me? A just God and Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Folks, Jesus Christ, through His Father, Jehovah, is indeed the Alpha and the Omega of time, the Alpha and the Omega of power, the Alpha and the Omega of wisdom, the Alpha and the Omega of love, and He is the Alpha and the Omega of sovereignty. He is the only God and Savior. Look unto me. Look to Jesus Christ. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Jesus Christ says to man, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you want to find rest for your soul? Rest for the soul of man is found in Jesus Christ and in none other.
Right.
Let us stand for prayer. God and our Father, we thank You that You are indeed the Alpha and the Omega. You are the sovereign of the universe. You are the creator of all things. You sustain all things. You have loved us with an everlasting love, and You are to us the only Savior. Bless Thy word and Thy truth to our hearts. Show us Thy Son in the Scriptures, we pray. In Jesus' name.